This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Friday morning, January 10th, 2025, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media radio network or on the app, or by podcast, or watching us on social media. We appreciate you wrapping up the first full week of the new year right here, the first full working week of 2025. It feels like we've had two or three of these. It's been a long one, but we are here, and I got a question for you. Did you know that the sun is already setting 20 minutes later than it was, you know, just a couple of weeks ago when the solstice hit? Now, the sun is still rising at the same time, 7:43, you know, as late as it gets. But that's going to start working its way backwards as well. But, you know, 20 minutes of a little extra light at the end of the day is, well, it's better than a poke in the eye, I guess. We will continue getting through winter here. Temperatures are already 10, in some cases, 20 degrees warmer than at this time yesterday. It's 10 degrees warmer here in Lake Wissota, where it's 22. Hayward's at 20. Amory's at 22, Wausau 21, and La Crosse it's 24 right now, and Rapids it's 22, Green Bay 27, Madison 24, Waukesha's at 19, and at Radio Park and Racine it is 23 degrees right now, and Alicia writes on YouTube very simply, woohoo. I can't say it the same way that probably the same enthusiasm that she feels, but, you know, she really can't wait until those early sunrises come back once again. Coming up on the show today, things are a little different than what you've come to expect on Fridays. Fridays at 6:30, we normally talk to Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kiev Akil. Sadly, he is caught up in the evacuations in Los Angeles because of the terrible wildfires there after that windstorm and dry conditions. So Kia had to move elsewhere temporarily, and we hope to hear more from him that hopefully think he is safe and well. But we will talk with a couple of my other Courier Newsroom colleagues, Billy Ball in North Carolina, Isabel Soisson from our Courier Newsroom national team, about some of the stories that they have been following this week. Then in our second hour, we have typically talked to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel separately, and then we talked to veteran journalist Mark Jacob, or sometimes Jennifer Schulze, separately. And of course, on Wednesdays, we talked to Todd Alba. And I thought, why don't we get the gang together? So at 7:20 this morning, we're going to start basically a weekly panel of looking at the week's headlines with Jim Santel and with Jennifer Schulze and with Mark Jacob. Todd Alba will sit in this week, and we'll rotate that chair through as everybody talks about basically a weekly wrap-up of what we all had so that we can kind of deprogram. Let's do just kind of a memory dump and go into the weekend and forget all about it until first thing Monday morning. What do you think of that? So we'll give that a go at 7:20 this morning, and you can join us along the way at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. As always, you can text us at that number, or you can call or text us through the Civic Media app, or as just happened on YouTube there with Alicia, you can post a comment on our YouTube page or the Up North News Facebook page or the Civic Media Facebook page as well. You can email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com, and you can sign up for our newsletter by clicking subscribe at the top of our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Greg Bach is standing by at Radio Park in Racine right now to get his weekend started. His weekend, of course, is not like yours and mine. We're done working. Oh, Greg's got to go to his other thing now, but his other thing is kind of cool. I mean, come on, he helps run. He's got a comedy club.
Yeah,
Greg. You know, our theme this week for me and for Sherry, and I think for you as well, has been. Damn, we're tired, and we work really hard.
Yeah.
But you know, given what we do compared to other folks' really stinky jobs. Okay, we're tired, but, you know, we're okay. Greg, it's a comedy club. It's so cool. What's that Laughing Tap this weekend?
We have Nate Craig coming in four shows. He is a Madison native. He's made his way to Los Angeles. He has toured all over the country. He opens regularly for Bill Burr. His last comedy special was executive produced by Bill Burr, and he has been on Netflix and all sorts of other great stuff. So four shows. Tonight's early, tomorrow's early, and tomorrow's late are pretty close to selling out. If you're in the area and you want to see a show, Friday night late, there's lots of tickets available, 7:30 and 10 p.m. Yes, 10 p.m. And those are available at laughingtap.com. $22 at the $22 online, $25 at the door, no drink minimums.
You see what we're doing here? We are so tired, but we are dragging ourselves across because, again, there are good things about our lives. We just need to sometimes remind ourselves now and then with that little pep talk. What's today's T-shirt, by the way?
Oh, this is my handy-dandy The Swag Shop in Atlanta. It's a barber shop.
Oh, that's right.
Run by Killer Mike of Run the Jewels.
Okay. All right. Really good. And will Sunday be the full day off, Greg meets his couch and takes a nap weekend?
Nope.
Oh, my. Okay.
I got a meeting that's going to be most of the day.
Oh, then, a meeting. Yeah, oh, and then I'm so sorry.
We have a show that night, so it's straight through until I got a week from Monday off. A week from Sunday off.
Okay. All right. So at least you have something to work toward. That's the thing, is something to work toward. And again, that's always important here for us as well. We will, you know, we take a midwinter vacation. We booked it months ago.
Yeah.
And I sent the note around yesterday letting some of the folks know when it was going to be. So in case we get some fill-in hosts, I sense a return of Bach in the Dock at some point in February.
February? Okay, cool. Because I told you I'm going on vacation at the end of the month. I'm going to Memphis.
I don't know that you did, but I'll approve it.
We'll talk about it later then.
I'll allow it. That's fine.
I mentioned it to you. My apologies. Okay.
Well, remember, I'm old. I might have forgotten too. It could go either way now with us. That's how either old and or tired we are at any given point here.
There's Bach in the Dock and there's old and tired.
Guess which show you're listening to right now? Not the one with the nice doctor lady. No. Who by the way is posting some wonderful pictures about her break, and I don't know if she's back this coming Monday or not. I'm assuming she is, we'll talk all about that as well, because this is, you need this in the middle of winter. You need to set something, not just necessarily a vacation, but something fun, a weekend, a night out, anything like that. Otherwise it makes you a little bit crazy here.
Well, that's what we do in January. We always take a Wednesday through Monday in January, and we get out of town. We try to go somewhere somewhat warm. Like, New Orleans has been the warmest, but even still it was like 60 degrees. But we just want to get out of the really super cold and be just, you know, having fun. No meetings, no work, no nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Alicia, for the comment on YouTube. You guys definitely deserve time off.
Yeah.
And she knows that her job can definitely get stinky, and I can't recall what it was, but it is a job that does get stinky sometimes. Yeah. So I hope she gets a little bit of time off as well. Wanted to talk just a quick thing about sports, only because it's the college football playoffs. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me try that again. College football playoffs this weekend, the final four, if you will, and apparently a very thrilling game last night between Notre Dame and Penn State, where Notre Dame, the 7 seed, by the way, has advanced to the national title game after beating Penn State 27-24 at the Orange Bowl in Miami. A big, thrilling finish for Irish fans, thanks to an interception with just 33 seconds left in regulation, setting up Notre Dame for a game-winning field goal. So, boy, do I feel bad for that Penn State quarterback. But Notre Dame will play in the national championship game in Atlanta on January 20th against either Ohio State or Texas. Those two teams will square off tonight in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. So there's a little update on the college football playoffs. Yes, sir.
Do you know what I didn't realize until I started doing this show this year, like about college football?
What?
Is that all the bowl games are essentially brackets taking you to the national championship.
They are now, yes. They used to be such this weird, you know, scattershot thing. They meant nothing. And yeah, now they're brackets taking us someplace.
That's interesting.
They have purpose now.
There you go. Maybe I'll be interested in them one day.
One day. Yeah. One day. It's just not today.
It's
all we can do to maintain confidence for the Packers, who play the Eagles in the wild card round of the playoffs. That's this Sunday afternoon, pregame at 1 o'clock. On Civic Media stations in Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, or Park Falls. Meanwhile, the Badger men's basketball team is in action tonight against the Minnesota Gophers. Coverage begins at 5 o'clock. You can catch it on the Civic Media app and on stations in Amory, Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. So all that is yet ahead. The Milwaukee Bucks, they play tonight in Orlando. Let's see, the Badger women's basketball team is home tomorrow afternoon against 8th-ranked Maryland. The Badger women's hockey team, ranked number one in the country, is at home Saturday and Sunday against Minnesota State. The Badger men's hockey team is home tonight and tomorrow against LIU. The 7th-ranked Marquette men's basketball team is off until next Tuesday when they travel to DePaul. The Marquette women are home tomorrow afternoon hosting Villanova. So that's your little update on sports. One of the things that we're going to talk about in our next hour more with Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze and Todd Alba and Jim Santel is basically Meta going MAGA. And what is it with what's happening with Mark Zuckerberg at Meta, parent company of Facebook and Instagram and Threads, in his rush to embrace Donald Trump and curry favor ahead of his inauguration. The three big billionaires in this country, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos from Amazon, and of course Elon Musk, have all joined together with Trump in a way that surely sends a message to the rest of America, you would hope, about where the priorities of this administration are going to be, who's going to benefit the most from it. And again, it bears repeating that if they're talking just about restoring the 2017 tax cuts and invading Panama and somehow acquiring Greenland, you should not be looking for any big change in the price of eggs or any of the other things that they said they were going to work on. So stay tuned for that discussion in our next hour. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning, when you're here, you're up north live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're muted, Pat.
You know what we need to do? Since we can't put a button on your board that sends an electric shock to my chair that tells me that I've still got my mic muted, we at least need a sound effect or something like that. Because, I mean, just hearing you going, Pat, you're muted. It's just like, Pat, you're a dummy. Let's at least make it funny. Let's look for just the right, like being hit over the head with a mallet in a cartoon or something like that. Maybe a chicken that's squawking. I don't know. Anything that says, Pat, hit the mute button.
Yeah. We'll get a celebrity to do it.
That would work. I was saying the The late, great Jim Croce was born this day in 1943. We'll have today's history lesson coming up in just a bit. Today on the National Day calendar, I'll tell you that one of the days is National Save the Eagles Day. And Christina Laurie focuses on Eagles, the bird, not the music group, in our newsletter. You can sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner atop the home page. And she writes about the popularity of bald eagle watching in Wisconsin and some places where you can see them this time of year, especially places that still have open water. We feel very blessed here on Lake Wissota that we don't have a lot of eagles year-round, but in early spring, just as the ice breaks up and the river starts to open, it's always right about that time that we get a few extra eagles coming past, no doubt on their way to other places up north. So learn more about eagle watching and our newsletter. Again, that's over at upnorthnewswi.com. Looking at some of the headlines today, there was obviously the funeral yesterday for former President Jimmy Carter, where you had five living former presidents gathering along with first ladies, vice presidents. Let me make one thing clear. If you really want a good eulogy to be said at your funeral, get yourself an adversary turned friend. Now, I have learned over the years, just through both observation and experience, that some of the best friendships are the ones that were forged by people who at first were adversaries in some way, shape, or form, and then found some common ground and got to be really good friends. In this case, I'm referencing the eulogy delivered yesterday by Steve Ford, the son of former President Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford was defeated by Jimmy Carter in the election in 1976. Gerald Ford wrote a eulogy. He agreed, they both asked each other, Ford and Carter, to give the eulogy at their funeral. And obviously, only one of those was going to be delivered in person. And in this case, it was Steve Ford delivering the eulogy that his father wrote for his former adversary, talking about the friendship that they had forged after that and recognizing their passion for service, their faith, the you know, the friendships that their families had built. It was, in my mind, and I'm not saying I have a ton of experience with eulogies, but I can only think of one eulogy of a significant political figure that tops it, and that would be Vice President Walter Mondale's eulogy for Minnesota Senator Hubert Humphrey when he passed away. It's worth looking up on YouTube. Just a magnificent tribute to a friend and professional colleague. And former President Ford did the same from the afterlife for his friend Jimmy Carter. And it would be tough to say you didn't get a lump in your throat when he didn't end with his father, the former president's words to Jimmy Carter saying, welcome home. So that was, it was a very nice ceremony. You know, good remarks delivered by other folks, certainly President Biden included. And then there were, like I said, the exchanges, the moments between figures. It was the first time that we'd seen Donald Trump and Mike Pence together. It was a very short handshake. Some words were spoken very briefly, not to make light in a funeral, but it really wouldn't surprise me if it lasted for about the length of time that it says, hi, I hate you. Yeah, hi, I hate you too. And, you know, then they moved on. And the only person who really had any kind of exchange with Donald Trump was former President Barack Obama. And it's almost as if all of the ex-presidents got together and said, you know, I think they drew straws and Obama got the short straw. And they're like, you have to sit next to him. And you see the President Obama sitting there and President Trump is talking to him. And Trump is doing 80 to 90% of the talking. And Obama's kind of nodding and occasionally putting something back at him, but let's just say it was not necessarily a love fest there. It's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be about Jimmy Carter. And again, I hope that over these past couple of weeks, many more Americans thought back to somebody who was trying to do his best for all Americans, not just for the people who voted for him. Somebody who served his country in war, somebody who served his country in political office, and somebody who served the world and mankind through the good works that he did after his presidency. I mean, when he was defeated in 1980, he was still, I think, 56. You know, he lived almost half of his life after being president of the United States, and helped eradicate one particular disease, built countless homes, brokered peace agreements, and so much more. And I don't feel like the speakers necessarily took any kind of a shot at Donald Trump directly, but there were a couple of references, again, to being more service-driven than driven by, you know, personal ego and a drive for personal power. And I don't think that that was necessarily meant to be aimed at Donald Trump so much as other Americans who maybe need a reset, who maybe need to do a gut check on their own cynicism about politics. And trust me, I understand the cynicism about politics. But cynicism can grow to an unhealthy level. It's one thing to want to make sure that a politician is doing what they say they're going to do and to hold them accountable. It's another thing to paint with a broad brush and say they're all corrupt and they're all getting nothing done. And Jimmy Carter is exhibit A in how you can have good people trying to do good things when you vote them into office. All right, we'll come back and talk to a couple of my Courier Newsroom colleagues next in place of Kia Vakil. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
You are listening to one of my favorite song intros on one of my favorite songs, Deacon Blues, Steely Dan. And that is because there is a big birthday associated with that group. There's a whole lot of birthdays today in today's history lesson, and that is coming up about 15 minutes from now or so. But first, I'm going to talk to some of my colleagues with Courier Newsroom. There is, of course, the regular Friday visit with Kia, but as I explained before, the wildfires in Los Angeles have affected Kia and other folks. We want them all to stay very safe. Billy Ball is the senior editor at the Cardinal and Pine in North Carolina. Isabel Swasson is... Say it again for me, Isabel.
It's Swasson.
Swasson.
It's okay.
That's okay. Isabel Swasson from Courier Newsroom out in Philadelphia, Kia Vakil's hometown roots, but apparently yours as well.
Indeed.
Billy, I'm going to pick on you first in terms of stories, because I've mentioned this on the show a couple of times already. This Supreme Court race thing is bonkers. And that's the cleanest word I can use on the radio here to describe it. So tell us about the candidates very briefly, who's the incumbent, you know, progressive versus conservative. And let's set up what is the core issue as to why this race isn't resolved.
So, you know, quite frankly, it's a fair question of why this race isn't resolved. I think in normal circumstances, we would have been saying this race was over weeks, months ago. So the Democrat Allison Riggs, defeated the Republican Jefferson Griffin by 734 votes, to be exact. That's not a lot of votes, but it's a loss is a loss, right? 734 votes out of about 5.5 million votes cast. Griffin did not take that loss well, so he is challenging it. And it has ping-ponged back and forth between the federal courts and now back to the state court. Griffin essentially is challenging the votes of about 60,000 people. To this point, though, he hasn't provided any evidence that a single one of those 60,000 people is not an eligible voter in North Carolina. In fact, those of us here at Cardinal Pine, we've talked to plenty of people who are legal voters in North Carolina whose votes are being challenged, and they're coming forward and saying, why in the world are they coming after my vote? It has to
that's a fair question. Why are these particular votes theoretically at issue?
So what Griffin is arguing, he's arguing a lot of things. He's kind of throwing a lot of things against the wall. But most of the people he's going after are people who have incomplete information in the state voter database, as in there might be a driver's license missing, a social security number missing. That missing information does not make a voter ineligible. But that's kind of what he's claiming. He wants the state to go back and say, oh, these people's votes can't count because that information isn't in there. However, that isn't necessarily the voter's fault at all. It could be that the state did, you know, until 2002, states weren't keeping track of that information, so people could have registered before then. It could be the mistake of a state elections worker who didn't key in someone's driver's license number. These are people who've been voting for years with no problem. And he's come forward and saying, after the election has already happened, hey, we shouldn't count them.
Okay, so you'd think he's, you know, lost these cycles, but apparently a Trump-appointed judge threw a real monkey wrench into the works here recently.
So, you know, there was an expectation that the federal judge was not going to go along with this because this same federal judge rejected Republicans' arguments along the same grounds when they were trying to throw out voters before the election. That same judge got this case back in front of him. And instead of saying, no, you can't make this challenge, I've already thrown this out, he said, no, I'm going to give this to the state courts. But for the moment, that throwing it back to the state courts means that the North Carolina Supreme Court, which is dominated by some pretty openly partisan Republicans, has this ball in their court. And there's a lot of concern that, you know, 5.5 million people voted in this election in North Carolina, and a few judges on the court could be the ones who say who wins or not.
And much like the U.S. Supreme Court that had the immunity case sat on it for months, literally, even though the appeals court judge, you know, said it was a slam dunk thing, I would sense again, your state Supreme Court, the conservatives could come back and say, this is a slam dunk thing. There's nothing wrong with these votes. And instead, it sounds like they might sit on this for a little while.
So they're scheduled to take it up later this month. You know, you get the sense a lot of these things with courts, it obviously happens behind the scenes. You know, those of us who cover the legislature, a lot of things happen right out in front of you. But the courts, they're having these conversations. I don't know exactly what they're saying, but you do get the sense there's angst about this, even among the conservatives on the court. There was a Republican on the court who has filed a dissent to even taking it up, who essentially said you cannot go in after an election and decide who gets counted, even after if they were eligible voters going into the election. I think the words he used was it sets it up for a lot of mischief. He's just one judge, though. And we haven't heard anything from the other Republican judges on there. There's a great deal of concern that they will go along with this. And quite frankly, I've never seen anything like what we're looking at to possibly see an election overturned.
Right. Well, that's why I wanted to ask you about that, because, you know, one thing we talk about on the show repeatedly is the difference between the people who are playing politics and the people who are engaged in actual public service, which is what takes us to Isabel and one of her more recent stories. And it deals with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and medical debt and, you know, what's going to change right now in terms of medical debt. So, Isabel, outline, you know, what is at issue and what will the new rule do?
So on Tuesday, Vice President Harris announced that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau finalized a rule that will remove medical debt. It'll no longer appear on Americans' credit reports. The new rule is going to erase $49 billion in unpaid medical bills from the credit reports of roughly 15 million Americans. So it's safe to say this affects a large percentage of Americans. The Bureau also estimates that the rule could help boost those consumers' credit scores by an average of 20 points. And, you know, this could help them qualify for mortgages and other loans. In fact, the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, they expect that the rule will lead to the approval of approximately 22,000 additional mortgages each year.
And yet, despite the fact that this is a net positive and that a lot of times the debt is not the fault. Consumers and junk fees and things. We've seen businesses continue to work to fight back against these things, against the Inflation Reduction Act and prescription prices and everything. So even though this sounds like common sense, is there a chance that in the upcoming Trump administration, this whole timeline could be impacted for putting this rule in place?
Yes. Like as of right now, the rule is set to take effect in March, but that timeline could be delayed by legal challenges. For example, there are several debt collection groups, such as the Association of Credit and Collection Professionals. They're opposed the rule and could challenge it. And then, you know, in an upcoming Trump administration, I could see them allowing something like that.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, you got to let the debt collection professionals group weigh in on whether medical debt should impact somebody's credit score. This is, there's so many factors at play here from, you know, mergers and acquisitions, these big hospital groups and consolidation, all these things that sometimes lead to errant billing. Is that playing a role in the growing amount of medical debt?
Yeah, there are a number of reasons why medical debt is such a crisis in the U.S. Like you said, one of the primary reasons is hospital consolidation. This is when, as you said, healthcare entities merge or they're acquired and they come under common ownership. And, you know, as a result, this dominates a market and reduces competition. It's also one of the leading factors in why healthcare prices have risen in recent years and just exacerbated the problem. But another reason why medical debt is such an issue is healthcare systems have been increasingly outsourcing financial work to private equity companies.
Oh.
And these private equity companies use financing tools such as medical credit cards and installment loans that come with high interest rates to make money, even more money. But, you know, consumers are still unable to pay those bills. So it just pushes them further into debt.
It's just, I mean, again, much like the collection agencies, I should have known private equity companies were going to be playing a role in this, as they seem to play a role in so much of what increases our costs, but also increases corporate profits. So you can read more about that over at upnorthnewswi.com as Isabel continues to follow that story. Let me wrap up with yesterday's funeral for former President Jimmy Carter, especially since we have kind of a shall we say an age range here, Isabel, as the person who was born well after Jimmy Carter's presidency. Again, as somebody who, instead of living through the presidency, has only heard, especially in these past, you know, 10 days or so, about his legacy. What kind of impression do you have on what you've heard about Jimmy Carter when you look at the political world that you have to report on now?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely done some additional reading about Carter, and you know, he wasn't particularly beloved in D.C. during his presidency. He was kind of known for not buying into the theatrics of D.C. politics, you know, the rituals, the schmoozing, right, the need to massage egos in order to develop allies. A good example I found of that is that until his advisors talked him out, if his advisors talked him out of it, he banned the playing of Hail to the Chief when he walked into a room because he said it reminded him of Richard Nixon's, quote, imperial presidency. Yeah, I mean, the contrast between Carter and Trump couldn't be more pronounced. Carter was known for resisting the pomp and circumstance office, whereas, I mean, I would argue that the pomp and circumstance is one of the only real reasons Trump ran for office in the first place.
Oh, it was interesting to see the interactions yesterday, and sometimes the lack of interactions that went on at the National Cathedral. Billy, as somebody located in the midpoint between Isabel and myself, I wanted to know how you too would contrast your memories of, you know, the years not too far after Jimmy Carter versus what we see in the age of Trumpism.
Yeah, I think Jimmy Carter is, you know, he's fondly remembered down here in the South because we don't get a whole lot of Southern presidents usually. So, you know, he's fondly remembered here in a lot of circles. Of course, some people still recalls the high inflation of those years and some of the international trouble, which makes his presidency a very good comparison to the last 4 years we've had with Joe Biden. And I think that both of them, history will look at them in a more flattering light, I think, than traditional media covered them in the moment. One of my favorite cracks from Jimmy Carter that I understand he made to a crowd in North Carolina when he was running for president was something along the lines of, wouldn't it be nice to have a president who doesn't have an accent? And he ran several years before I was born, but I was like, man, that's good. That's good. I like that line.
It was. He was such a breath of fresh air. And I'm sure that people still remember that about post-Watergate. And that, yes, he did have a complicated presidency from factors that he did not create, whether it was inflation or the Iran hostage crisis necessarily. But it's nice to know that there are still folks that remember the character of the man, especially post-presidency.
I mean, he had a modest guy vibe, as Isabel was referring to him a moment ago. That was his vibe, always, the old peanut farmer thing. I mean, obviously, a guy who rose so far as to be the president was more than that modest vibe, but he carried it off really well. And, I think a lot of people respected that about him. There was and his various charitable efforts. He gave the idea of a person who didn't just talk about doing good for other people, but actually did it, that he lived that way.
Yeah, between him out of Plains, Georgia, and Bill Clinton out of Hope, Arkansas, I think it was a nice reminder for folks in the South that, our small towns can still produce great leaders. Billy Ball, you can catch what he's doing at the Cardinal and Pine in North Carolina. Isabel Soissons from Courier Newsroom, and you see her on everything that we do. So go to couriernewsroom.com and find all of our many state outlets, Up North News included, and read about what both of these fine folks do. And we'll continue rotating you and a bunch of other colleagues in over the coming months to join me and Kia on Fridays. We'll look forward to talking to Kia again soon. It was great to talk to both of you. Thank you so much for the visit today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will be back with today's history lesson right after this. This is Up North News Radio from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
If your sweetheart sends a letter of goodbye.
This is today's history lesson on Up North News Radio. And I don't know how many people would peg this person as Johnny Ray. And it's always fun to talk about people who were really big in their time, but did not have, the staying power beyond that time frame. Johnny Ray was a big deal in the 1950s, kind of precursor to modern rock and roll. But you have heard Johnny Ray's name in the Dexys' Midnight Runner song, Come On Eileen, starts with poor old Johnny Ray. In Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire, Johnny Ray gets mentioned in there. And so now you know a little bit more about him and his big hit, Cry. He was born this day in 1927, passed away in 1990. On this day in 49 BC, you ever hear the phrase crossing the Rubicon? I don't know if that's in Greg's wheelhouse rhetorically. Do you threaten somebody and go, hey, you're about to cross the Rubicon, pal?
I don't think I've ever used it in any sort of. I just know the car, the Rubicon. That's it.
Oh, that was not what Julius Caesar had in mind. No, not that Rubicon.
Get in my Rubicon. We're gonna go. We're gonna cross. I've heard people use the term, but I've never used it for fear that I'm not using it correctly.
Julius Caesar was on the other side of the Rubicon getting set to essentially overthrow his own government. And when he crossed the Rubicon, it signaled the start of a civil war that would lead to Julius Caesar becoming the emperor in 49 BC. Now we need the more you know, the little star in the rainbow going across the screen. Let's see. Born this day in 1939 is the late Scott McKenzie, who had a prototypical 1960s hit. That would be Scott McKenzie, who passed away in 2012. Let's see. Thomas Paine, during the American Revolution, published his famous pamphlet, Common Sense, to try to get people worked up into the cause of American independence. David Bowie passed away this day in 2016 at the age of 69 after a long battle with liver cancer. The vinyl record wars heated up in 1949. Yes, there were record wars in 1949. Folks were using, to listen to a song, a single song, a 78 RPM record. And I don't know if anybody's has a 78 anymore or a turntable that plays at 78. But RCA on this day in 1949 introduced what we typically, well, those of my age, know as a single, a 45 RPM, 7-inch record. Let's see, we've got a birthday today for Patricia Andrzejewski, who was born in Long Island this day. She's 72, and you know her better as Pat Benatar. Pat Benatar is 72. George Foreman, boxer, entrepreneur, dad to George, and George. He is 76 years old today. Happy birthday to Sean Colvin, the South Dakota native folk singer, is 69 today. Sean Colvin had one hit, Sonny Came Home. It won the Grammy for Record of the Year and Song of the Year in 1998. She never really finished, followed that up with other radio hits, but she's been a very prolific folk singer artist. She has collaborated with all kinds of artists behind the scenes. I saw her in Eau Claire a few months back, and she still puts on a really good show.
I was going to say, she tours a lot.
She does, and does a wonderful job. Here's another big birthday. Rod Stewart is 80 years old today. From Roger in Stevens Point on Facebook. You know you're getting old when Pat Benatar turns 72 and Sir Rod Stewart turns 80. Two of the best Hall of Fame artists from the 1980s.
Wow.
Yeah. Absolutely agree. It's weird. The guy that sings Do You Think I'm Sexy is 80 years old today. And why wouldn't you? Go ahead and sing it again today.
Do you think I'm sexy?
Mentioned Steely Dan. Donald Fagen is 76 years old today. We'll play some more Steely Dan a little bit later on. And I mentioned the late Jim Croce was born this day in 1943.
Man, yeah. Jim Croce rules.
No. I would love to tell you that he's 82 years old today, but sadly we lost him at the age of 30 with a handful of hits, and Lord only knows how many more there would have been. I mentioned that this is Save the Eagles Day. This is also Bittersweet Chocolate Day. This is Cut Your Energy Costs Day. And this is Houseplant Appreciation Day. So you go appreciate those houseplants. Maybe water them finally. It's been a little while, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that we should be maybe cost. What was it? Energy. What was the name of it? It was
Cut Your Energy Cost Day.
How about we do that in summer when we can open windows and doors and do that? Whereas in the dead of winter, I got to keep the heat on because it's a degree outside.
It's a little tough to appreciate them that way. Let's see. I was reminded as well by some of the listeners. We were talking about Jimmy Carter. Can't forget Brother Billy. Billy Carter was quite a character with Billy Beer. Denise reminds us of that on Facebook. And I'd forgot until yesterday. I thought Miss Lillian. Jimmy Carter's mom, she was a pistol, just this sassy old lady, and she was a very colorful part of the administration as well. So just so many figures that we miss as a result. One story we didn't have time for this hour, but wanted to note that in the state Supreme Court race, both Judge Linda Crawford and former Attorney General Brad Schimmel are already showing that they're going to blow away the records for fundraising. Some $5 million has already been raised already. I'm going to be talking to Judge Crawford later today, and we are going to play that interview back Monday morning at 7:30. Getting set for that big April 1st state Supreme Court race. Got a very busy second hour of Up North News Radio ahead, right after news on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've got a song.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.